Chapter 5, The Ba Jia Hui. Lei steered the car onto Chang'an Avenue, the major artery cutting through the heart of Beijing. The hum of their motor was drowned out by the noise of the traffic that seeped in through the windows. Jack was riding shotgun, inspecting the inside of the vehicle. The interior was modest and betrayed its age. The fabric of the driver's seat was worn at the edges, unveiling a history of countless late-night patrols and day-long stakeouts. Once a shiny black vinyl, the dashboard was beginning to fade to a lighter hue, a testament to the car's service under Beijing's sun. A small Mencius figurine was dangling from the rearview mirror, surfing the wake of the car's movements. As Lei moved into a right lane, the figure performed a graceful swing to the left. When he accelerated into a left lane, the Chinese sage pointed in Jack's direction, achieving an elegant dance to the tune of the vehicle's momentum. After passing the highly secured Zhongnong Hai compound, the power base of the CCP, which doubled as the formal residence of the ruling elites, the imposing silhouette of Tiananmen, China's cherished national symbol, gradually came into view. It marked the grand entrance to the imperial city, a gateway that led to a magnificent walled enclave at its center, the Forbidden City. This complex, structured as a fortified sanctuary for the imperial family, had been the heart of political discourse throughout the era of the Ming and Qing dynasties. It had served as royal residence, sheltering emperors and their households until the final curtain fell on China's monarchy. Over 6 centuries old, it was an impressive testament to a time when China was the most powerful empire in the world. A time that might soon come again, Jack thought. Behind the massive red walls, he could see the curved roofs, colored in the bright yellow of the imperial family. While driving along its outer edges, he was struck by the expansive scale of the complex, as he was so often before while being stationed in Beijing. Stretching over 70 hectares and comprising nearly 1,000 distinct buildings that displayed China's rich history and architectural mastery, the site evoked a sense of awe, reserved for only a few of the man-made wonders in the world. Each of the painstakingly uniquely decorated halls, courtyards, and gates within its confines told its own story of the dynasty's past, of emperors and empresses who once called it home, of intrigue, power, and grandeur. A manifested representation of China's timeless legacy, resilient culture, and enduring traditions. It was a striking juxtaposition to the frantic bustle of modern-day Beijing. Jack broke the silence as the views of the Forbidden City faded in the rearview mirror.
"Where exactly are we headed?"
"Sanlitun," Lei replied, his eyes firmly on the road. Jack had anticipated as much and fell quiet again. As they approached the Sanlitun area, the city's urban landscape shifted rapidly from the solemn government buildings and ancient wooden temples to modern monoliths made from glass and steel. Renowned for its vibrant nightlife, high concentration of foreign headquarters and embassies, and large expat community, Sanlitun was the center of the modern commercial face of Beijing. Boutique stores, cafes, and restaurants with signs in multiple languages lined the streets, testifying to the area's cosmopolitan feel. A mixture of locals and foreigners strolled along the high-rise buildings and city squares, popping into shops or sitting outside cafes, sipping drinks and enjoying the pleasant weather. They drove deeper into one of the labyrinthine side streets that constituted the heart of the district, close to Sanlitun's Top Wind Center. The area, renowned for its hedonistic exuberance come nightfall, appeared calm and tamed in the day's sunlight, with quiet guests sitting in the few bars that were already open. As Lei turned off the engine, he pointed to a building about 50 yards away. "That's the Jewel," he announced, "a nightclub owned by the Ba Jia Hui. The owner, Huang Guocheng, holds an influential position within their local faction. He is running their books and, as far as we know, their inventory and general logistics in Beijing. If the woman we saw in the recordings is an escort, he'll know where to find her. Time to try out your idea." They exited the car and walked towards the club.
Housed in a sleek, multi-story building, the exterior oozed cosmopolitan appeal, with large floor-to-ceiling windows and eye-catching digital displays showcasing upcoming events held in the club. The entrance was marked by an impressive marquee featuring the club's name in bold, stylized letters illuminated with bright backlights. Outside the club was a small seating area fenced off by lush greenery. A red carpet extended from the entrance, serving as a welcoming path for them. As they walked into the club, a voice reverberated from behind the bar. "We're not open yet." Undeterred, Lei put his badge on the counter. "I'm aware. I want to speak to Mr. Huang." The head of a young, handsome man emerged from behind the counter. Dressed in a blindingly bright red shirt, the rolled-up sleeves revealed his tattoo-clad arms. A couple of unbuttoned loops at the top of his shirt teased at further tattoos across his chest. A pair of round, yellow-tinted glasses shielded his eyes, presumably to add a touch of intellectual mystery to himself. Lei's police badge caught his attention, causing him to stop his bottle-sorting activity. He stood up and studied both men scrutinizingly, taking a quick glance at Lei and then lingering on Jack with skepticism. He gestured towards a side door, instructing, "Walk till the end," before pivoting to pick up his phone. Jack and Lei entered a narrow hallway behind the public area. Along the path, an open door allowed Jack a peek into a room where four burly men were hunched over a square table engrossed in a game of mahjong. The rhythmic clinking of tiles were disrupted when one of the players glanced up and smirked at Jack. They continued their path, rounding a corner to face a door guarded by a stern, imposing man. The man sized them up and, deeming them acceptable, stepped aside. In the room was a man engrossed in paperwork behind a large desk. Judging by the lines on his face, Jack estimated the man to be well into retirement age. His face bore an expression of focused contemplation as his eyes scanned the documents before him. His attire was simple yet sophisticated, mirroring his stoic demeanor. A sturdy figure stood by his side, his muscles hinting at a role more protective than administrative. Upon their entry, the man behind the desk curtly nodded at the man. Acknowledging the signal, the man moved to stand before the closed door, blocking Jack's and Lei's exit path.
"Officer Zhang,"
Huang Guocheng began, sporting a professional smile.
"What brings me the honor of your visit at this unexpected hour?"
As his eyes landed on Jack, the mirth drained from his voice.
"And with such an unusual guest," he continued solemnly, not trying to hide his obvious displeasure.
He made a brusque gesture towards two chairs in front of his desk. Lei and Jack settled into their chairs. The room was brightly lit and disturbingly quiet, as if someone had taken great effort to soundproof it. Every minor sound seemed amplified, the quiet hum of the air conditioning, the muted creak of the chairs as they seated themselves, the rhythmic tick of an antique clock on the wall. Huang Guocheng's eyes were focused on Jack. Lei initiated the conversation, his voice respectful.
"Mr. Huang," he began amicably, "I hope the times find you in good health."
Huang's brow furrowed subtly at this unexpected start. His eyes briefly darted to Lei, but then returned to Jack. He responded, an edge of humor in his voice.
"I am in good health, Officer Zhang. Thank you."
He finally looked at Lei.
"I trust you are also doing well."
"I am, Mr. Huang. It is good to hear that we can meet under such fortuitous circumstances. After all, personal well-being is vital for our professions. However, I cannot shake the proverb, illness originates from the mind, out of my head, now that a recent, unsettling event preoccupies my thoughts."
A nod of agreement from Huang was all the response Lei received, before the club owner leaned back into his chair.
"It is unfortunate to hear that, officer. What is it that occupies your mind?"
A glance at Jack served as a silent signal before Lei continued the conversation.
"This event that I mentioned, it confronts me with a certain dilemma. You see, this situation that troubles me, I believe you might be able to shed some light on it."
"I am not sure how I could be of help, Officer Zhang. After all, I am a humble entrepreneur, not a detective."
That is true, but we believe someone working under your umbrella recently had an unfortunate interaction with an esteemed guest to our country. We're trying to piece together the details of that interaction.
Huang raised an eyebrow, crossing his arms over his chest. I employ many people, Officer Zheng, and my establishment entertains hundreds of visitors every night. How am I supposed to remember every interaction?
Remaining in calm composure, Lei explained,
You see, this interaction did not occur in the jewel, Mr. Huang. It relates to one of your auxiliary enterprises. Given your status, it's quite plausible that you would have been notified about this particular encounter.
And which auxiliary enterprise might that be, Officer Zheng?
Huang asked with a distinct edge of irritation. Jack was growing increasingly frustrated. This was like attempting to extract a tooth from a shark, he thought. He decided that now would be as good as any time to put phase two of his idea to the test. He cleared his throat to break the silence.
Mr. Huang, we are here to seek information. Assisting us is in your best interest.
Huang's amusement was apparent.
Ah, the Goiza finally speaks. Tell me, Mr. Foreigner, who are you exactly?
Before Jack could reply, Lei leaned forward and intervened.
Mr. Huang, you must know that China is actively collaborating with Interpol to quash international organized crime. In fact, Interpol's National Central Bureau is situated right here in Beijing, answering to the International Cooperation Department within our Ministry of Public Security. Agent Beckett here has approached our ministry with a special request.
Huang's eyes flickered to Jack, taking in the new piece of information.
He heaved an irritated sigh, but conceded with a nod for them to continue.
Your organization, Jack began, carefully measuring each word, is currently under international scrutiny. There are accusations of cross-border crimes, specifically human trafficking and forced labor of women. This is no longer a local issue, but one that breaches international human rights agreements.
Huang's gaze remained steady, his demeanor unchanging.
The interaction in question concerns a woman that is not only suspected to be a victim of these illicit operations, but also the prime suspect in another criminal investigation that you do not want to be associated with. If she is indeed associated with your organization, this can turn ugly very fast for you. It could potentially snowball into a high-profile international incident that brings Interpol knocking at your door, Jack added, letting the words hang in the air. The room was charged with an unspoken tension. The three men eyed each other, caught in a deadlock. Huang Guocheng reclined back, his eyes appraising Jack. Jack continued.
However, there is the opportunity to control the narrative before it spirals out of control. We are only interested in finding the woman. If you were to help us, it could be presented as an isolated incident, one that you were unaware of and definitely do not condone, he proposed. Your cooperation would be noted in any potential international proceedings, mitigating any hypothetical impact to your organization. A tense silence followed, broken only by the subdued ticking of the antique clock.
Huang sat quietly, processing the information, his eyes fixed on Jack. Then, with a slight shake of his head, he gestured at the bodyguard stationed at the door and leaned forward.
Gentlemen, he began, his voice calm and controlled, I believe you are misguided. My dealings are legitimate, and I have no connection to these scandalous accusations. I advise you to not bother me about this anymore. You will leave now.
The bodyguard opened the door to let his equally intimidating colleague from the hallway enter. Both positioned themselves next to the chairs. Lei and Jack shared a quick glance. As they rose from their seats, Huang reached out his hand to Jack.
And Mr. Beckett, do pass on my regards to your colleagues at Interpol. Especially convey my greetings to Agent Prescott. I hope his daughter has recovered.
Caught off guard, Jack faltered for a brief moment. He opened his mouth to retort, but the burly hand of the guard was already clamping onto his shoulder, pushing him towards the door.
As they were let out of Huang's office and onto the bustling street, they knew they were back to square one. The door slammed shut behind them, punctuating the futility of their encounter. Silently, they made their way to Lei's car and sank into their seats.
"That didn't pan out as we'd hoped." Jack looked stoically ahead.
"No, it didn't," Lei agreed.
"What was that parting shot about the daughter? Was that a threat?"
Jack asked, turning to Lei.
"Do you have a daughter?"
Lei inquired.
"I do, but how would he know?"
"Maybe he just assumed."
"That bastard," Jack seethed.
Lei revved the engine back to life, snapping them out of their contemplation.
"What's next?"
Jack's question hung in the air as Lei navigated the car back into the busy traffic.
"We might have other options. Do you want to continue?"
"After what he just dared to imply in there, hell yes," Jack replied, his resolve strengthened.
"Good. We attempted to go in high by talking to Huang directly. Maybe that was a mistake. I suggest we go low this time. I know where some chauffeurs who drive their escorts around town usually hang out while waiting for their next assignment. One of them might be there and know something about the woman."
"But the video showed that the woman took the subway to get there."
"True, but the drivers still know about the general coming and going of the prostitutes working for the Baja Hui. Both for control and protection should a client become unpleasant. Maybe she notified them of her job in Mr. Mahoney's building and told them she doesn't need a chauffeur for that client."
"Maybe," Jack contemplated.
"It's better than nothing. Let's give it a try."
Lei navigated them through a labyrinth of streets, weaving around motorbikes and honking taxis. The journey took them to an outer district of Beijing, where the grandeur of modern developments and skyscrapers gave way to narrow alleyways and single-story buildings. The target was a nondescript parking lot tucked away in this gloomy corner of the town. It was here that the escort drivers often parked their sleek black cars for a smoke or a quiet break between assignments. As they entered the lot, Lei pointed to a solitary limousine parked in the farthest corner. Inside was a man reclined in the driver's seat, idly flicking through something on his phone. Lei stopped their vehicle on the other side of the lot. They stepped out of the car, their boots crunching on the gravel-littered asphalt as they approached the limousine. Its driver, unaware of his surroundings and occupied by his phone, did not notice them. Lei knocked on the tinted window, his knuckles echoing in the otherwise silent lot. The driver's initial surprise morphed into wary caution as he sized up the duo. With a puzzled look, the man pushed open the car door and stepped out. Despite his youth, he was a prime example of street-hardened wariness. His eyes, dark and vigilant, bounced between the badge and the foreign figure that was Jack, trying to gauge the severity of the situation and his place within it. Lei introduced himself and Jack, cutting through the palpable tension.
"I am Officer Zheng Lei," he stated. "This is my partner, Mr. Beckett. We're working on a case that could use your help."
Lei continued and described the woman they were seeking. He had not much to go on, given that her face had been concealed behind the scarf and her glasses, but Lei hoped that the mix of place, time, and situation might strike a chord of recognition. As Lei asked the man if he knew anything about the woman, Jack studied the driver's face closely for any hint of recognition. The driver's eyebrows drew together in a furrow of concentration, but he looked more confused than nervous.
"I've got no clue,"
the driver replied promptly once Lei's question stopped. He appeared relieved to dispel the tension that the questions had built up.
"Listen, this is not just a simple night job we are talking about. The woman killed someone, so if you know anything about her and do not tell us, you become complicit in a murder. I think you know what this means for you. So I'll ask you again, and you better think long and hard this time before you answer. Do you know which one of your escorts went into this building that night?"
Jack looked straight into the driver's eyes. The driver's eyes widened at the threat. His lips parted slightly as if to retort, but closed again. He swallowed, the sound audible in the silence of the parking lot, and Jack could see him grappling with the gravity of their story.
I don't know the woman you're talking about," the driver said, looking Jack straight in the eye. He was scared. "We didn't have any job in that building that night.
I swear, I have no clue.
Exchanging a look with Lei, Jack saw his own frustration reflected back at him. The driver was telling the truth. They had hit another dead end. Seeing their resigned expressions, the driver hastily retreated back into his car and locked the door, leaving Jack and Lei standing in the parking lot.
What now? Jack asked.
It might be best to take a breather for now. I need time to think, Lei replied.
Jack massaged his temples.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Lei agreed to drop Jack off at his hotel so that he could check in and freshen up. It had been a long, grueling day, and the toll was beginning to show. They agreed to reconvene over a meal at the hotel's restaurant later in the evening, where they could, hopefully, bring new ideas to the table.
Here we are, Lei announced as he pulled up in front of the hotel.
Thanks. Let's meet at, say, 9? We can dine at the hotel's restaurant. Fresh minds and a change of surroundings might just be the catalyst we need.
Sounds like a solid plan, Mr. Decker, Lei concurred. See you at 9.
With a nod, Jack exited the vehicle and made his way toward the hotel, his silhouette gradually merging with the crowd.